Don't you love Easter? Chance to celebrate and worship our Lord. And it's a great time of year. Several years ago, the leader of the Russian country was circulating around the country doing lectures against Christianity. He would require the people to come to these lectures and just go against Christianity, preaching atheism and trying to downgrade the Christian faith. He went to one particular city. Tens of thousands of people showed up because they had to in this big square listening to this guy talk. He talked for an hour and 15 minutes. When he was done, he was just sure he completely obliterated the Christian faith. When he was done, a person in the crowd stood up and said, "He is risen." And the whole crowd shouted, "He is risen indeed." This fact that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead changes everything. Is really a cornerstone of our faith. We're going to look at a scripture that tells that story in Matthew's gospel. To set this gospel up in Matthew chapter 28, right before this, as we know, Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross for our sins. He died. His body was taken off the cross. It was late in the afternoon on Friday. It was put in a borrowed tomb, sealed up. Stayed there all Friday night, all day Saturday. Saturday night. Now it's Sunday morning, the third day, and we get the story in Matthew 28. Stand as we read God's word this morning. It says, "After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone, and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this amazing, true story in your word that's very familiar to us. But I pray today that you would speak to us, and that we would open up our hearts to receive this amazing message in a new and fresh way. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to say that this day is the day that Jesus changed the world. He changed the whole world. And you'll see why as we go through this. God announced the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. When this all happened, God made some specific announcements that it had happened. But we start the story with some loyal followers came to the tomb of Jesus. Early the first day of the week, it is Sunday morning, very early. They made their way to the tomb, Mary Magdalene and another Mary. Other gospels tell us there's more women there. They came full of grief. They came with no expectation to find Jesus alive. They were coming to anoint the body with spices. You see, in that day and age, in the Jewish people, they didn't embalm anybody. They just anointed the body with spices and threw it in the grave. Or not throw it in the grave, but, you know, put it in the grave. Anyway, the guys on Friday when Jesus was crucified didn't have time because Sabbath is coming. Sabbath comes at sundown to properly prepare Jesus' body. So the ladies are coming on Sunday morning to finish the job. The guys didn't get done. And all the women said, "Amen." Okay. But they weren't expecting Jesus to be alive. They were going to prepare his body for burial. But they were in for a great surprise because Jesus had risen from the dead. To announce the significance of this event, God sent a violent earthquake. Matthew is the only gospel writer that includes the earthquake. I find that interesting. Only one. In this earthquake, God is signaling that a most significant event happened. It seems as if God was trying to get their attention. And maybe our attention through earthquakes. Anybody ever been through an earthquake? Yeah. Doesn't it kind of get your attention when there's an earthquake? It makes you feel a little afraid. I mean, this earth that you think is so stable, you realize, hey, it's not so stable. It's moving. What's up? God seems to use earthquakes as special events. There was an earthquake when Jesus died on the cross. There's an earthquake in the book of Revelation when Jesus is going to come back. And he said that one of the signs of the times is getting close is earthquakes happening on the earth. So earthquakes are meant to kind of get our attention. And God does that on that day. And not only was the earth shaken on that day, I'm going to suggest the whole universe was shaken, because what Jesus Christ did through dying on the cross and raising back to life shook the foundation of everything that exists. It gives us hope, hope. We today are still experiencing the effects of that great shaking that happened. To open the tomb, God sent a powerful angel. God sent one of his powerful angels from heaven to come down to roll back the tomb and open up, roll back the stone and open up the tomb. He didn't open it so that Jesus could get out. He opened it so that people could get in and see that he was gone. Just one angel, that's all it took. There's millions of angels, but he just sent one. One was enough. It says in the scripture here, this angel's appearance was like lightning. Think about that for a moment. You've seen lightning? Lightning usually lasts about a half a second, you know. This lightning didn't stop coming from this angel being. It says, clothes were as white as snow. This is an impressive-looking, awesome, spiritual messenger from God. You know, we're not talking about one of those little cute little angels that shows up on your Valentine card. We're talking about an awesome angel of God that makes people afraid when they're in the presence of the angel. That's who he is. The Roman guards who were there guarding the tomb, these tough, battle-hardened guards, were so afraid when they saw one angel that they started shaking and became like dead men. And later they get out of there. You can imagine that the forces of hell were frightened as well on this day when they realized what had happened. Jesus had risen from the dead. God, to guard the tomb, posted an angel guard. It's kind of almost kind of a funny picture to me to think about the angel coming down, rolling the tomb aside, the soldiers scared to death, and the angel just sits on the tomb. I think he just crossed his arms and stared at them, you know? And they're just going, they're so terrified. He just sits there. When the women arrived at the tomb, they saw the guard sitting there. I find it fascinating that these Roman soldiers would be so scared that they fall on the ground like dead men and then they run away, that these little humble women would approach the tomb. Even though the angel's there sitting on the stone, they have to approach the tomb, and they do. These are brave ladies. They're afraid, but they go and they approach the tomb where the angel has guarded the tomb. And the angel announces the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Think about the joy of the angel for a moment. Think about how hard it must have been for the angels to watch Jesus suffer, to watch Jesus be beaten up and flogged and mocked and crucified and die. And they couldn't do anything because God wouldn't let them. They could have intervened if God said go, but they didn't get the command. But now this angel says from God, go and roll back the tomb. Jesus is raised from the dead. He goes, he's excited. This is the best angel assignment ever. I get to go do this and announce this amazing good news. When the ladies approached the tomb, first they were told not to be afraid. That is standard angel talk when they approach humans. It's the first words you say when you approach a human is don't be afraid, because people are terrified of them. Don't be afraid. The women come and they're afraid. They're not just afraid of that angel sitting on the stone by the tomb. They're also afraid of what happened. The one that they believed to be Messiah had died. They saw his body put in that tomb. They were afraid of death. They're afraid. Jesus forever changed the way we think of death. Through Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, he has completely, absolutely, perfectly defeated the devil. The song that I don't know if it was the choir or the special just sang, they were both good, talked about hearing the chains fall off, you know? It was a complete victory. Jesus changed all the graves on earth into short-term housing. Jesus said, do not be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forever and ever. When we leave this earth, we'll leave our bodies behind when we die. Our spirits will go to be with the Lord. Someday there will be a bodily resurrection from the dead, the Bible talks about, where we'll be reunited with our bodies. They'll be transformed into new heavenly bodies, which we'll have for all of eternity to spend with our Lord in heaven. Jesus changed the way we look at death. They were told to remember that Jesus was crucified. The angel said, you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. You see, the significance of the resurrection only matters because Jesus was crucified first. Before there's a resurrection, there has to be a death. And the angel is reminding them, don't forget about his death. He's raised from the dead, but he died. He died for you. He was crucified for you. Reminded of his death, and we must remember that. On September 11th, one of the last people pulled from the debris of the Twin Towers was a 31-year-old woman named Janelle Guzman. After the plane hit the World Trade Center, she was descending the staircase on the 64th floor of the North Tower when the tower collapsed. Somehow, her body found an air pocket. Her right leg was pinned under heavy concrete. Her head was stuck between pieces of wreckage, but she was alive. She lay trapped for 27 hours, seriously injured. Before the attack, she'd begun to attend a church called Brooklyn Tabernacle. She wanted to get her life turned around. While she was stuck in the rubble, she began to pray. She would fall asleep, and then she'd wake up and pray again. Shortly before noon on Wednesday, she heard voices. She screamed as loud as she could, I'm here, the rescue worker responded. Do you see the light? She did not. She took a piece of concrete, banged it against a broken stairway overhead, probably the same structure that saved her life. The searchers heard the noise. Janelle wedged her hand through the crack in the wall and felt someone grab it. And the person says, I got you. She says, oh God, thank you. Took 20 minutes, and she was rescued and saved. I want you to understand today that, in a way, that's a picture of all of us. We're trapped under the weight of our own sin, with death facing us. We're trapped. No way to save ourselves. We can't escape. But Jesus searches for us. Jesus is on a search and rescue mission. He searches for us. And if we just call out to him in faith, he reaches down and grabs us and says, I got you. And we are saved. So as we celebrate Jesus' resurrection from the dead, we must never forget that he died for us on the cross so that we could be saved. They were told that Jesus had risen from the dead. Now, it's pretty amazing to understand this and believe this, that Jesus had risen from the dead. Ken Davis tells a story of a woman who looked out her window one day and saw her German shepherd shaking the life out of her neighbor's rabbit. Her family did not get along with these neighbors, so she knew this was going to be a disaster. She grabbed a broom, swatted her dog until it dropped the now extremely dead rabbit out of his mouth. She panicked. She didn't know what to do. She took the rabbit inside, gave it a bath, blow-dried it to its original fluffiness, combed it until the rabbit was looking good, snuck into the neighbor's yard, and propped the rabbit back up in the cage. An hour later, she heard screams coming from next door. She went out and asked her neighbor, what's going on? She says, our rabbit. He died and we buried him and now he's back. Everyone knows rabbits don't come back to life, right? Everyone also knows people don't come back to life. Not bodily come back to life. The disciples knew that. The ladies knew that. They had no expectation that Jesus was alive when they came to the tomb. No expectation. There was no welcoming party there for Jesus at the tomb. Jesus told him he was going to raise, right? Where was the welcoming party? They weren't there. They didn't think that it was impossible for someone to be raised from the dead. But they heard these amazing words. He is not here. He is risen. And those words would change their life. The scripture says God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. That's such good news. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we have nothing. Do you know that Paul says in the letter to the Corinthians, he says, if there wasn't a resurrection, your faith is useless. Our faith is useless. It's absolutely critical that we believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, because by his resurrection from the dead, he was proclaimed to be the Son of God. We understand it was God who died for us on the cross to give us our salvation. The ladies were also told to go see the evidence. The lady said, go in the tomb and see where he lay. The other gospels tell us they actually did go in the tomb, and you know what they saw? They saw a stone slab where there should be a body there. The grave clothes are there, but there's no body. The grave clothes are just laying there. There's no body. And the head cloth is folded and set aside. The evidence said no one stole that body. Something miraculous happened here. Jesus raised from the dead and left everything behind. They left the tomb convinced that Jesus had risen from the dead. They were told that Jesus fulfilled his words. It says, the angel said, Jesus has risen just as he said. Those words must have bit just a little bit. He's saying, remember, he told you. He told you this was going to happen. You guys didn't get it. He told you. Jesus said in Matthew 16, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hand of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised back to life. The angel reminded him Jesus did exactly what he said he would do. That's great news for us because it means he's going to do everything else he said he's going to do too. They were told to go tell the disciples. The disciples, they're sleeping in. You know, the ladies are at the tomb. They're sleeping in. They're grieving. They're not there. They are distraught. They are in agony and grieving the loss of Jesus. And they need to know. And so, ladies, quickly, quickly, go. Tell them. They need to know. Go. And they're going to take off to do that. They came to the tomb sorrowful. And they left so full of this good news that they're going to go share with their friends, the disciples. They were also told that they're going to see Jesus alive. The angel said, go to Galilee, and there you'll see me again. And they would. They're also going to see him earlier than that, but they're going to see him there too. A wonderful promise that they will see Jesus again. All of us are going to see Jesus someday. You know, Jesus is still Jesus, by the way. He's ascended up the right hand of God the Father, but he's still Jesus. He'll forever be Jesus, and we will see him face to face someday, alive. God the Father announced the resurrection, the angel announced the resurrection, and Jesus is going to announce his own resurrection from the dead on that day. The ladies at the tomb, at the news of Jesus' resurrection, left full of joy. It says they left to go quickly tell the disciples, full of joy. They came full of sorrow. They left full of joy. And what's the only difference? Jesus is alive. That's the only thing that's changed. Jesus is alive. They haven't even seen him yet, but they're full of joy. A letter that the Newsweek magazine reported on from the Greenville County, South Carolina Department of Social Services says this. The letter was sent to a dead person. It said, to whom it may concern, your food stamps will be stopped immediately because we've received news that you've passed away. You may reapply if there's a change in your circumstances. That's a good letter. The good news is, for all of us, because of Jesus' resurrection from the dead, there's been a change in our circumstances. Amen? We were once dead in our sins, but now we're alive in Christ. Because Jesus is alive, we have joy. Joy that comes from the fact we're forgiven of our sins. Joy that comes from the fact we are children of God. Joy that comes from the fact that we will live forever. Joy from the fact that we will live forever in heaven, this wonderful place God has prepared for us. Joy in the fact that we can live in a relationship with Almighty God, the God of joy, forever. Amen. Peter writes of this joy. He says, though you've not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. At the news of Jesus' resurrection, they left to tell the disciples. That's what they were told to do. And they left quickly to go do it, obedient to the call. They didn't question. They didn't have a committee meeting. They didn't have to think about it. They went. They had a message. They had to go tell it. And there was some urgency to that message. Go quickly and tell them. So they took off. And it kind of reminds me, until Jesus comes back or we go to be with him, we have an urgent message to share with our world. Our world is a mess, my friends. It really is a mess. And Jesus Christ is the answer. We have a message to share with our world. They went to share this message. As they went, they were met by the risen Christ. As they were going, it says, Jesus suddenly appeared. He was just there. There was a little girl in Sunday school class that was being asked by her teacher, you know, what were the words that Jesus said when he came out of the tomb? What are the first words? And the one little girl raised her hand, yes, I know. And she asked him what it was. And he said, ta-da. You know? Well, we know one of the first words he said was, greetings. Hello. Just there, you know, just casual, you know, hello. I'm sure they probably just about fell over. You know, here's Jesus alive. They see him. These brave women who had come to the tomb became the first witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. They saw him. They saw the risen Christ. It was not their imagination. It wasn't a ghost. It wasn't something they were imagining. They actually saw Jesus. He is a new glorified body, but they still recognized him. They knew it was Jesus. They saw him standing there. He's alive and well in a real body, really alive. They saw him. They became witnesses of the Jesus Christ resurrection because they saw him. Paul would write to the Corinthian church that at one time, Jesus appeared to over 500 people at one time. There's a lot of witnesses that saw Jesus alive. Amazing witnesses. Peter writes, we did not cleverly invent stories when we told you of the power and coming of our Lord Jesus, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Eyewitnesses. They saw the Christ. They also heard the risen Christ. Those words, greetings, you know, I don't think they've ever heard anything so wonderful in their life. Have you ever had someone maybe go off on a trip and you're kind of worried about them, you don't hear from them, and I wonder if they made it, I wonder if it's okay, and finally they call and you go, oh, man, they're okay, they made it, that's great. These ladies heard these wonderful words, everything wasn't okay, and now it's okay because Jesus is there and he's speaking to them. Greetings, he says. Maybe at this moment they'd heard these other words that Jesus said when Lazarus had been raised from the dead. When he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. Amen. Three men were together talking about death, and they were saying, what do you want people to say at your funeral? One said, I'd like to hear him say I was a great physician and a great family man. Another man said, I'd like him to hear I was a wonderful husband and a school teacher that made a difference in the lives of the children. The third guy said, I'd like them to hear them say, look, he's moving. Because when a body is moving, the funeral is over, right? He's alive. Jesus Christ ended every funeral he attended. Because you know what he did? He raised people back from the dead. And he's still doing it. Someday, we're all going to die. We leave our bodies behind. We'll go and be with Jesus. We'll still live. I am the resurrection and life. He who believes me will live even though he dies. We hold on to that. We believe in that, that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and life. It's a life that we have right now and we'll have forever, this eternal life. So they saw Jesus, they heard Jesus, they even touched the risen Christ. They went up to him and grabbed his feet, those same feet that were nailed to the cross. They grabbed his feet and hugged him. And one thing that I think is so beautiful about this picture is Jesus welcomes them. He lets them come to him. You know, in the Old Testament, people had to kind of stay away from God. Don't go into that. Don't go there. Don't go up that mountain. Stay back. It's dangerous to go into the presence of God. But in Jesus, he says, come. come. These ladies came to Jesus and grasped his feet. They touched him. He had a real body. They touched him. This isn't pretend, it's a real body. They touched him. They grabbed him. I can imagine they were either crying or laughing at that moment at the feet of Jesus. Falling at the feet of Jesus is an act of humility, devotion, love, and reverence. And they worshiped the risen Christ. I love this picture. Not only did they fall at his feet, they worshiped him. It's interesting, when you read the Gospels, I only found one other place where the followers of Jesus worshiped Jesus before this moment. It's when Jesus stilled that storm, when the disciples were in a boat and they thought they were going to die, and Jesus walked on the water to them, got in the boat and calmed the storm, and they worshiped him that one time. No other references until now. But after this, there's all kinds of references about them worshiping Jesus. Because somehow, even though they believed he was the Messiah, they didn't maybe completely understand who he was. But through his resurrection from the dead, he was declared with power to be the Son of God. Worship is for God only. And they realize at this moment in a new, fresh way, this is God. God in the flesh. And they worshiped him. God is worthy of our worship. In Revelation, there's beautiful words. I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, that's Jesus, be praise and honor and glory and power and forever and ever. And the four living creatures fell down and worshiped. The ladies started that outside the tomb, falling down in worship at the feet of Jesus. And there in Revelation, it continues, falling down and worshiping Jesus Christ. They obeyed the risen Christ. The ladies left and did what Jesus told them to do. Go tell the disciples. And they left and did that. They went and told the disciples. And the disciples, if you read, didn't believe at first. But Jesus appeared to them too, and they did believe, and they became witnesses along with the ladies of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Acts 4 says, with great power, the apostles continue to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. What the early church talked about, what they preached about all the time was this: Jesus is alive. He's raised from the dead. He's the Savior. He's the Messiah. He died on the cross for your sins, but he was raised back to life, and he'll save all who call on his name. The resurrection of Jesus changes everything, and it'll only change your life if you believe. If you believe. You know, it's really important on this Easter Sunday that we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior. We need to be ready. You know, I know that, you know, a few weeks ago we had a loss. We've had several losses lately in our church, but we lost a guy named Doug Hawley, who was part of our church. And he, after a worship service a few weeks ago, was praying at this altar right here. I went up and talked to him after the service, right there, and he told me, he said, Pastor, I want you to know I'm ready. Whenever God calls me, I'm ready. And I remember telling him, well, hopefully not today, you know, but it was a few weeks later, but he was ready. And every one of us need to be ready. Because the fact is, friends, we don't know how long we have on this earth. We really don't. None of us know. And so we need to be ready. And you're ready by knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. All of us in this room will spend eternity in one of two places, heaven or hell. God wants no one to go to hell. Hell is a place that is not in a place that God wants one person to go. But he gives us such incredible freedom that he'll allow us to go there if we choose to. But he has done everything possible for us for salvation. He sent Jesus, his Son, to die on a cross for our sins so we could be forgiven and have eternal life. He was raised back to life, and he ascended up to the right hand of God the Father, where he intercedes for us right now, and he'll save all who call upon his name. That's great news. And so on this Easter Sunday, I don't want any person to leave this room, or if you're watching online, to go through this day without knowing for sure if today was a day that your life was over here. Are you ready? After the service, I was talking to Caleb, our children's pastor. And he said, the kids are filling out little outlines too, I guess, or something. They have something to write on. One of the little girls, really young little girl, old enough to write, showed him her outline, and she wrote on there, I'm ready to go be with Jesus. I think that's precious. Just a little child, I'm ready. Ready to go. And she said she loved God and people. I think that's awesome. You know, the scripture says, Jesus said you need to come like a child, with a childlike faith, like that kind of faith, a childlike faith. In Romans 10:9, it says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Isn't that good news? So we're going to do something maybe a little bit different today. We're going to do a public confession, okay? So in a moment, I'm going to ask you, if you want, you don't have to, but if you want, I'm going to ask you to say with me, Jesus is Lord. And in that public confession, you are saying, you are proclaiming with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Also, I'm going to ask you to say, I believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. Because in that belief that Jesus was raised from the dead, also was included that he also died for me on the cross. He died for me so that I could be forgiven of my sins. You have your faith placed in Jesus Christ. I think it's good to affirm that. So again, don't say it if you don't mean it. But if you mean it, let's do a little public confession together. We're going to say, Jesus is Lord. Ready? Jesus is Lord. And secondly, we're going to say, I believe Jesus was raised from the dead. Ready? I believe Jesus was raised from the dead. Amen. You know, I think heaven is so excited when they hear those words. Praise the Lord. We have so much to be thankful for, so much to look forward to. Worship team, come up. We're going to sing a song of worship together this morning as we close our service. And as we always do, if you need to come pray about anything, this altar up front, there's small altars up front. It's just a place of prayer. It's a place where you can come and pray. Maybe there's something on your heart that you need to pray about. Maybe God spoke to you in some way. You need to pray. Maybe you need someone to pray with you. We'll pray with you. Let's stand together and worship our Lord. And if you need to come and pray, come, and we'll pray together this morning.